Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listening Podcast with Chris and Stu. I'm Stu and I'm doing this intro on my own today as Chrissy Goldtouch isn't about. Today's guest is Laura Pradelska. We met with Laura at the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen a few months back now. And we've had this in the queue of podcasts that have we've been working through, and it's time to get this one out today. Laura is an actress, stars in Game of Thrones. I think, you know, that's safe to say that's not a bad one to have on your CV. Laura's also a club DJ, radio DJ, and we talk about all of this in a very haphazard and weird and wonderful way. And yeah, she's lived all over the world and yeah, it's got a very interesting life to date. So I'm going to shut up and let's get on with the podcast. I'll tell you what, just quickly, big thanks to 76 for producing this. Thanks to Brad Acton for the video content. And thanks to everybody on the Distraction Pieces Network, and most importantly, thanks to you guys for listening. If you like what you hear here, please go and subscribe. Head back through our previous catalogue of stuff and go through there. We've got 80 or so episodes on there of the likes of singers, musicians, producers, actors, actresses, sports people, and just generally interesting people. All picking their top five. So go and have a little look through the back catalogue. And yeah, enjoy. 76, drop that intro music. It's a drunken soiree in the Within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast. And we are recording. It's podcast two of the day for us, isn't it?
It is indeed. Just finished with Rick Edwards.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and we are at the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen, who kindly let us use their space and play home to our live shows.
Indeed it does.
Which I'm sure we'll announce another one soon.
Yeah, got to get it in the calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you feeling?
I'm great. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Our lovely guest has just let us share a basket of wonderful fries.
Lattice fries,
is that what they are? Yeah, okay, yeah. No, I'm going to go back for, I'm going to order them next time. And thank you for coming in, because it is a nice day and we've dragged you into a bar to do a top five of your choice. So, Stu, would you like to welcome our lovely guest today?
Absolutely. Laura Pradelska.
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 Yeah.
Scott. Do you know what?
I made it Scott.
When we was doing all the promo for this, and it was like, Scott. And I was like...
Okay, so my born name is Pradelsky. And when I was a young lad, when I was about 18, I lived in LA. Yeah. And this agent said, she said, like, darling, Pradelsky doesn't sound like a star. And at the time, I believed you could be a star. Yeah. So she said, why don't we make it Pradelska? And and so we did.
Yeah.
So in my passport, it's still Pradelsky, but yeah, it's Pradelska.
Right.
And also, I just want to say thank you for having me.
Oh,
and thank you for letting me eat my very healthy fried... What are these? A potato?
Lettuce. I think they're sweet potato.
That's definitely sweet potato.
Yes, it's a sweet potato. It's healthy, right?
Yeah, you can sleep better at night. with that.
Can
I think.
I?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it thinning? Yeah. Okay, great. Great. Thanks for having me, guys. I've been listening to your podcast, so I'm excited to be here.
Thank you.
Cool.
Well, before we go anywhere, Laura, your accent, Laura, explain that. Because it's a hybrid, isn't it?
I just can't. So, okay. So I was born in Frankfurt in Germany. And I wouldn't say I was the best of students. So I got a little bit kicked out of the German school system. So my parents decided I should go to London and finish school here in a boarding school. And even the boarding school was like, you know what? No.
Serious?
Wow. Really, literally, yeah. The boarding school was like...
How much of a badass was you? What were you doing to get thrown out of school?
I just like going out. I like being having fun. I wasn't even that bad, I thought. But it was a religious school, and the guy who ran it, he's like, this is just not the right place for him. And Mum was like, what are we going to do? And I said, you know what? I'm 17. I can do this on my own. I promised to go to school. So I actually... did do my my A-levels here. And
so at 17, you come to London on your own?
On my own. I spoke a bit of English, and I did my A-levels, but I did one in German, which is so cheeky. So I did one in acting, which is even more cheeky. And the last one, I don't know, psychology, which I did really, really bad, excuse me. Then I decided that I wanted to move to LA, so I packed up and I moved to LA when I was 18.
Wow, so you've been in three countries by 18.
Yeah, by 18, exactly. So so my accent went from very German, like something like this, to quite posh English, to like so totally American. It's not like even funny, like literally. So I lived in America for 10 years and I had the most American accent. And then I left LA, I moved to London, I went to drama school here because I thought, oh, I'm coming from LA, I'm sure everyone's waiting for me to be in their films. And it turned out they wasn't, they weren't. I went to drama school, I did two master degrees, and I started working. And now my accent is transatlantic European. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. It changes.
So, Laura, to go back to when you were 17, that's a big thing at 17 to move to another country on your own.
Like, I wouldn't have the balls to do it now.
Yeah.
I've no idea why. I just at 17, you don't care, do you?
You're just quite fierce and quite strong-headed.
Yeah, totally. You just go, oh yeah, I'm going to move away. Also, do you know, I was just not a good student. I was ADHD, which was like an attention deficit disorder, which now is greatly treated, apparently, with Ritalin or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
At the time, it wasn't. I wasn't the most popular girl. I was bullied. I was like, I'm quite happy to get out of here.
Yeah.
So, and Frankfurt is, now Frankfurt's a great town. And, you know, we have a great music scene because trance started off there and it's kind of... influenced my music and what I listen to, and great DJs and great nightlife, and I love going back now. But I mean, is anyone really happy at 17?
No, everyone
were
you quite restless?
Don't get me wrong, I think at 17 that's kind of when you're just, what am I going to do? You know, generally you will fanny around for a while trying to work out what you want to do. But at no given point did I think, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go and live in another country on my own. I would never have had the
balls
to do that. No.
I don't know. Do you know what? I almost regret that I haven't done what you've done. Like, just from hearing it, it's like, fuck, that's so amazing. But I probably at 17, I just wasn't thinking much, really. I was quite a lot of the time drunk and partying. to think if I was going to do anything else, I was terrible at college. I was getting in trouble. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't a bully. Obviously, wasn't a bully, but I didn't have that wider worldview. And I think God, I got it a few years later, and it rounded my opinion on life, and I'm all the better for it. But wow, to have gone and done it when you did it is just such an exciting notion. But probably wouldn't have had the guts.
I just really wanted to be an actress. I think that's what it was all about. I just thought it isn't, which in retrospect, it may not be true because you can be an actor anywhere.
Yeah.
I just thought I've got to go to LA. LA is where is that?
And was it?
not for me work-wise. I wasn't particularly successful because I discovered the party there.
I'll bet. So wow, yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah. It's just fun. Yeah, I got signed. I was signed with a nice agency. I did a couple of music videos. Mm-hmm. I was the...
What music videos were I called?
I was the crack whore in 187 Undercover Cop.
With
Snoop Dogg.
No,
yeah.
Mate, that's like their first track.
That's a sore point with my parents. So I was in a Courtney Love video.
Yeah.
And really? I really was, honestly, genuinely. And that was my career, really. I didn't make it. I didn't really have the... It just didn't happen. I just kind of had this idea that you have as a kid that you walk down the street that someone goes,
you,
in my movie now,
yeah.
You. And the person that would say that would be Steven Spielberg, but sure. I never ran into him. So. Yeah, yeah.
So how did that sort of manifest itself in your kind of drive and your... You know, your dreams to kind of succeed as an actress. You know, did you find like a few years down the line you were starting to think, "Am I doing the right thing?" Like, you know.
No, I didn't. I had a lot of great boyfriends. I had a lot of fun, and I still was making money because I've been doing voiceover work since I was very young. So I'd always had an income, and I'd always been. I was modeling, believe it or not. Long time ago, so there was money there,
yeah.
And. Also, rent in LA is very cheap. Living is very cheap in LA. Food is cheap.
Yeah.
Gas for the car is $20 a week. It wasn't an expensive lifestyle that I led. And the only thing that was expensive, I think, was flying home to see my parents.
Yeah.
And I never gave up on the dream. But I didn't have the drive that other girls had. I didn't have the oh God, this is going to sound so bad. I didn't go into Harvey Weinstein's suit. Also, I wasn't invited.
Yeah.
But I had been invited to other suites.
Right.
And I didn't go. I just didn't take it that. I just thought, nah.
No, but that's a good thing.
Do you know what
well?
I mean?
Yeah.
I think I'm not sure why. I had a flatmate who did all those things, and she did a couple of movies. But I saw her afterwards. I saw her coming back from being with XYZ in a hotel room, and it kind of scared me off, to be honest. Again, I wasn't invited
tragic.
To that many rooms either. But yeah, it existed, definitely.
It existed. It's a fucking horrible
public thing. Yeah. Of course, you know. It still exists.
Well, of course it is. I mean, and now...
Do you think it does now?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Definitely.
I don't think everyone will be put off by what's happened to Weinstein. There'll still be people who...
Do you reckon?
I think so. I think that the
anybody
yeah.
with power and influence... like
it has the opportunity to corrupt them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I was once asked to massage a producer's feet, and I...
Stu asks me all the time, and I... You're persistent.
If we've had a tough day...
Do you massage them? No. I hate massaging. Yeah. I hate feet.
Yeah.
And I just thought, no, for nothing. Not even for a walk.
That's a fucking strange thing to ask someone, isn't it?
When
we massage
that's what we're starting to see, though, aren't we? Like, you know, all these revelations of what these producers are asking. It does become strange because when you have... When people aren't saying no to you, I think your vices somewhat change quite radically, and it's probably quite difficult to see where it goes. And they probably never thought they'd be doing the weird shit that they're doing, and that's not excusing it. You know, you have control. And
I have watched the Ashley Judd interview, and I've read all the testimonials of all the girls from Mira Sorvino, and you know, Ashley Judd, Mira Sorvino, without giving my age away, I'm a big fan, and I watched all their movies.
Yeah.
A big fan. I get it. If I was on that level of fame, and I'm in Cannes, and my movie is premiering, and the biggest producer in the world says, oh, could you come upstairs for a meeting? I would so go to that meeting.
Yeah.
So this is not at all to say that I completely get it, 100%.
Yeah, totally.
I just wasn't asked. to that degree. And LA is a strange place. It's a strange it's a place full of people that are either someone or trying to be someone, or I don't know what it's like today. I feel more secure and happy here. Let's put it that way. So anyway, I moved back here because I wanted to be closer to my parents, and I went to drama school, and my accent went from like a super American, which everyone took the piss out of for years, to not even British. And then I met a husband. I met a boy in a club right here, actually, on King's Cross, at the Big Chill. Do you know?
Big Chill, yeah.
Yeah, the Big Chill. And he's like, "Do you want to hang out?" I was like, "I'd love to hang out." Mm-hmm. Anyway, and he's from Essex, like you.
Yeah.
Are you from Rayleigh?
Just outside.
Okay. So his English is, he taught me a bit of Cockney. Yeah. So up the uppers and pears and a couple.
She was in a lot of trouble, really, because you hooked up with one of our Sussex blokes and we've got funny accents. Yeah. But then do you reckon because of your career and what you do, that inherently you sort of do tend to absorb people's behaviours and accents that bit easier because of
what you have
the habit in what you do for a career, you know?
I think so. I mean, I was never particularly... I will never probably play someone from British heritage, but I think today the world's gotten smaller and I think it doesn't really matter anymore. And I think even when you watch... Today you watch the Royal Shakespeare Academy, you watch the National Theatre, you watch... films, you watch Wonder Woman, you know, she's from Israel. Yep. It doesn't really, because the world's gotten smaller, people don't really care. Right. It's more sexy to go, where is this bitch from? And I don't mean to say bitch in, you know. But I think that's what interests me. Not to say that I don't love a good British accent.
So we're probably about 20 minutes in and we've not even mentioned...
It's just been fascinating, isn't it? So, yeah, you're right. What is your top five today?
Okay. So, it didn't take me very long to figure out the top five. Because I wanted to do something that really annoys me. Or that I really love.
Yeah.
So, I really love Jodi Picoult books. I figured people are kind of probably not going to be tuning in that much about Jodi Picoult books because not that she's not, she's my favorite writer. I read about her last night. But what always gets me is, and I'm sorry to say the word, shit actors say or shit designers say, because I work with a lot of actors and I work with a lot of designers.
Yeah.
And I just want to preface, is it preface? Do you say that? Preface with some of the stuff I have said.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not a diss to actors.
No, totally.
Okay.
You found yourself saying yourself, I've become that cliche.
Totally. Yeah. I have totally become that cliche. And then I found this really great Twitter account that says, should actors say? And then there is also a Funny or Die thing, which I'm a big fan. Are you guys Funny or Die?
That's great. Yeah,
I'm a big Funny or Die. I'm a bit big between the ferns. Two ferns. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. So I've kind of watched that over the last 2 days and... So I've not been a diva because I've sadly not had the chance to be in a big movie and go, no, I will not talk to this person, but I do have some funny stories that actually happened to me.
Fantastic.
And I'll start off with one, if you'd like me to.
Yeah, of course.
And then we can make that. So I went to drama school with a very lovely girl, and I won't say her name because she's probably listening to this. And... drama school is a shitty place in the sense that...
And the drama school was...
It was in London. It was called Drama Centre London, one of the best schools, amazing school. And they really took me in because I think they had pity because I didn't have a BA and they took me on their MA course and it was awesome, amazing, fun. And there was a girl in it and she was stunning, tall, beautiful. I'll leave it at... I won't say her hair colour because you'll identify her. And... there's a competition between actors because there has to be because we all go for the same role. It's always the same 10 of us in the same room.
Yeah.
So one day she calls me up and she goes, Lara, I have the best news ever. And I went, really? What's going on? What's happening? She's like, because I'm Jewish and my grandparents went to the Holocaust and I'm just going to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. She goes, I am playing a Jewish girl from the Holocaust, and I want you to coach me. What? I'm just going to let that sit in for a second. First of all, how is this great news for me? Secondly, the part of my dreams, okay?
Yeah.
The role I've been waiting for all my life. I will be waiting for all my life. She got. And how is this a congratulate? Explain it to me.
That's crazy.
What would it be? What would be something that someone said to you where you just, when someone called you and went, oh my God, I've got the best news ever.
Got the best news.
To go for lunch with a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That would be for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Would it?
Yeah. Or best news ever. I've just met. And then just insert any of my favourite sort of DJs or musicians. Yeah. I'd be like, that's not the best news ever for me.
And also, the part is, and I want you to put the playlist together. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah.
I need you to drive me.
Okay. Exactly. And I just, it's 10 years ago. I've never forgotten it. But today when I thought about funny things, I mean, we did a lot of massaging at drama school. That was funny. I was just looking at some of the stuff that shit actors say. No, I'm only doing films and TV. Theater is just not up my thing. I just do films and TV, so that's one.
So on that, because you've done both, obviously.
Not so much. I've done theater mostly. Yeah. I love it. I just feel like I'm better at theater. I think I'm better. I fuck up all the time. I forget my lines.
Navigate your way out it though. So
unless it's Shakespeare, then it's really shit because you cannot go. Thou art not cool.
Forgotten it already.
Do you know what I mean? I love it all actually. I don't really mind. You know, I lately do a lot of radio, which I really like. I don't really, as long as I do something creative, I'm actually quite happy.
Right.
Yes, I would like to be at the National Theatre doing a really deep play like Hedda Gabler, and one day that might happen. So until then, I'll just do whatever I can.
What
but no
opportunities arise and what you enjoy.
And I go to a lot of auditions, and I sometimes get an offer, and I do. I really like doing short films, especially if they're on. This is probably the only actress you'll ever meet. I actually like doing things on low budget because there's so much love behind it. When someone does a film on a low budget, I've just finished one actually called Stripped, and the guy is really talented. He's probably going to be a massive actor one day, and he wrote this amazing script about a sex trafficked girls, and he sent it to my agent was like, I don't know, it's really not paying very much. I'm like, I understand, but I think the story is important. And and he really believed in it, and he's a 21-year-old kid, and I'm like, I just want to do it.
Wow.
And it turned out great, and it was so much fun, and I hope it wins loads of awards for him because he really deserves it, and he wrote it and produced it and directed it, and I like that.
Yeah.
Would I like to be in Oceans 8, Oceans 10, 11, 12, 13, 14? Absolutely.
Yeah,
but until then, I'll be in Stripped.
You get different things out of it. I think on short budgets as well, it encourages creativity, doesn't it?
I think so too. And I think we have to support that, you know, because we've all been in that situation.
Yeah, totally. I saw in prep, when I knew you came in, I watched, I've seen different bits and pieces in Erebus that you was in. Yeah, that was good. It's fantastic because, you've been in other bits and pieces like Game of Thrones, but that's a massive show.
Game of Thrones was a game changer, you know. It was just a game changer for me, like in every way, and I'm just so grateful. I was like, I'll put you behind a mask. I'm like, and?
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or Deadpool.
Yeah.
Who gives a flying?
Yeah.
What the? You're in a movie, man. You're in a great show. Yeah. You're in something your kids has opened so many doors.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Was that exciting, being on that?
The most exciting thing ever. Really? It really was. Yeah, from the moment I went in, I auditioned for it, and I got the casting call, and I got... It was funny because my agent called me and she said, darling, they offered you the role... do you want it? Because it's not paid loads. And I went, sorry. Do I want it? No, I will kill for it. Meaning I definitely want it, and my agent's amazing, so I don't want to ruin her reputation by any means, because she's a lovely woman, and she's been believing in me way before Game of Thrones. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing to fly to Croatia. Emilia Clarke, who plays the lead, obviously, is... was also in my drama school. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, we were in the same drama school. She plays Daenerys, and we got ready together in the same changing room. And I wasn't sure if I should, because now she's a big star. Back then, you know, we had like a locker on the same.
Yeah.
And she turned around, she's like, "Do I know you?" I'm like, "No, I mean, I know you." She goes, "No, we went to drama school together." And so I made so many friends on that show. I'm still friends with all the girls. And it was a couple of an amazing days. And I actually really like the show.
It's fantastic.
I actually really like it. And I hope now that it finishes, we're going to go back to like kind of like Solo and Star Wars, like to the beginning before Game of Thrones.
In that world?
I think so.
Wow, there is a book.
There's a book coming out right now.
What, like the building of the wall or something like that, maybe?
He's bringing it out now, so I'm hoping he brings my character back. I tweeted him. I was like, "Can you bring Keith back?" He was like, "Absolutely." I was like, "Wow." So I hope... Yeah, it was amazing. And I think it changed everything, you know, because... For an actor, it's you just kind of need that one little break, you know. And until it came out, it took a while, you know. And I didn't know whether I was cut out, because often you're cut out of a film. Mm-hmm. So here are a couple of other funny top fivers.
Yeah, sure.
This is a good one, and I have to say it in American English. I didn't choose acting. Acting chose me.
No one can say that. Have you heard people say that shit?
I have heard people say that shit.
Tell me you ain't said that.
I have not said it. I swear on my life. I swear on my unborn children, okay? And that's something Harvey used to say. But no, I have never... I didn't choose acting. Acting chose me. No, bitch, it didn't.
At what point when people say things like that, you know, you should have someone in and around you that kind of just goes, "Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
Don't say that."
Coming from where we come from in Essex, you would never get away with that, would you? Like, you would get laughed out the room. And I think that is one of the qualities.
I didn't choose podcasting.
Totally. Yeah. There are some really good ones. What every actor says, I haven't said it because I think I would suck at it, because I'm very, very bad at giving directions. I'm very good at taking directions. What I really want to do, though, is direct. Yes, we know. You all do. And you all direct your own films. And the best part is if you star in them. So that's definitely in the top five.
Yeah.
Go.
Give me an example of a time, obviously I don't expect you to name names, of when someone has, you know, said something like what's on that list there, and like you've literally been the recipient of hearing that.
Rolled your eyes.
And how do you deal with that?
I have once been on a set where I had to sign a contract that I wasn't going to speak to my co-star, because the co-star was bigger than I was. So...
Fuck off.
No, I swear to God.
Well, you couldn't speak to what? Offset?
Offset, Offset. So, and he didn't want... there was a... Excuse me. By the way, that was my chair. So I had to sign a contract where... Which I did. I was like, "Babe, I don't even want to be around you if..."
Yeah, if that's... If that's who you are.
So I had to sign a contract where I wouldn't approach him, speak to him, ask him for autographs, photos, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And I'm quite on Twitter, Instagram. I just like it. I don't know. I'm just going with the time. You know,
so this guy implemented that.
Yeah, he implemented that. Or his agent. I have no idea. It might not be him. Because he actually was really lovely. But by the time I met him, we were in somewhat the same trailer getting ready. And he turned around and he said, "Are we in a scene together?" And I'm like, "Fuck, do I say... What? I mean, I don't want to get kicked off the film. So what do I say now? Do I say yeah? So I went.
That's madness.
So I went, mm-hmm. He's like, do you want to run the lines? I'm like, can we? I didn't know what to say because I had signed this pretty hardcore NDA that obviously I wasn't going to ever talk about the film or do the film or blah, 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 blah. Do the film. But I don't know. Again, it could have been the writer that was written by his management. Yeah. It could have been a million other experiences where girls had thrown themselves on him, which he was a bit older, so it wasn't exactly my... I wasn't going to take a picture on set because I never do because it's cheesy anyway. Yeah. So I didn't actually say anything. I just said, yeah. And he goes, are you really shy? And I'm like, actually, I'm a lot of things. I'm really not shy. Mm. He goes, okay, because you seem intimidated. I'm like,
stop talking to me.
It's got something to do with a fucking contract that I signed saying I'm not allowed to talk to you.
But I didn't want to say that because, and I said, I'm not intimidated. I mean, I respect you, but I'm not intimidated. I just didn't know whether we can communicate. He's like, well, as long as you don't Instagram me. I'm like, but believe me.
Yeah.
Also, not to be rude, no one cares.
Yeah.
none of my, you know.
Yeah.
None of my friends or whatever would have cared. So so we did the scene and then he was like, we're having dinner with the cast and the crew. Would you like to come along? I'm like, well, now I'm really fucked because I don't know. Am I?
Yeah.
Like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I didn't go.
You can totally understand why you wouldn't,
though. I didn't go. I just didn't. I just thought, I just thought, A, I didn't want to be cut out. I didn't.
Mm.
Anyone that has that in their rider, in their contract.
That's crazy. I've heard like that idea of cutting out. I didn't really realise how much of a thing that was until a friend had explained to me about a movie they'd been on. And like loads of footage they shot on budget, on a big budget.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Millions of pounds worth was put into certain scenes and storylines.
Yeah.
And they had a fallout with one of the actors in it. And they just cut them entirely out of the movie.
Absolutely.
Like millions and millions of pounds worth of stuff they shot. They were like, no, fuck you. You're out of the movie now.
Absolutely.
That's mad, isn't it? But
yeah.
Also, it's mad that you think that people can get that far ahead of themselves that they think they're bigger than the movie or that they're willing to be such divas.
Didn't that just happen to that Dancing with the Stars guy, Brandon Cole, when they said he's bigger than the show? I don't know. I think there's a lot of egos involved and I think I understand in a way, okay, I'm not the youngest and I've struggled as an actor for a long time before I was starting to work, which only happened in the last 8 years. So I think when you are 14 and you're in a Disney show and you have four assistants and five people to bring you food, not that that is any excuse to not be humble, not be cool and blah, blah, blah. Maybe you're a little different.
It distorts your outlook.
Maybe this is what you believe life is. Yeah. I don't.
I think there was a very, very famous radio DJ and presenter, and he come to work for me at one of the clubs, literally
five
minutes from here, at a point when he was probably the most famous person in radio, at that time, and he turned up with lots of very famous people, and they came in this little sort of green room, and so I walked in there, I was like, thanks for coming. Like, can I get you all a drink? And so if you imagine the table of seats is like a U shape, I've walked in behind and took all of their drinks orders.
Yeah.
And then come back.
And this is your club. This is the club you run. Yeah. Okay.
So so I've come back with this tray of drinks and gave them all out to all of his friends who were
free.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
And they were all really grateful and thank you and nice to meet you and all of that. This radio DJ happened to be sitting directly in front of me when I've walked him with the drink. So his back was to me.
Yeah.
And he literally just raised his hand up, took the drink from me, didn't say thank you. And where I'm from, don't really matter where you're from, I guess. Please and thank you.
Yeah. Always.
It's a basic.
Yeah. Right? Always. Sure.
Just took it off me, took a sip, and he wanted tonic, and I think they put soda in it.
Oh, nightmare.
And he just literally, he literally just went, that's tonic, said soda, and passed the drink back without even making eye contact with me, passed it back over his shoulder. So I just took the drink, drunk the drink.
Good for
off
you.
And I just thought, good you for think you. I'm getting you another drink? Who the fuck do you think you are? I don't care who you are. Like,
good for you.
Just be nice. Yeah. Don't be a dick.
No, definitely not.
I think that's what it is, though. Just be nice.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty decent rule to live your life by.
Someone said something. This is definitely not my quote, but someone said, with actors, you either never good enough or you're too good. I've heard that so many times. People are like, would you like to be in a short film? I don't really do short films anymore.
Yeah, I get you.
You know.
Yeah.
Or you never go, oh, I will never get that part. Just be humble.
Yeah.
Just do. If you get work, just do it.
Be excited about it and get not have the ego. And you sound like that when you said, you know, with the short story.
Yeah, I do. And I, It's a hard industry, just like every other industry, but just be nice.
Have you always been nice? You must have lost your shit once or twice.
Yeah, I think so.
It must be a diva moment.
Oh, totally.
For somebody who's been chucked out of schools,
yeah.
Left a few countries.
Yeah. Okay, so, yes, I have shown up. Excuse me. Drinking beer. There was a play I was in, which I really loved, actually. But the guy kept changing his mind. And it got more and more and more and more sexual. And I had to do things which I was just like, oh.
It's not what I signed up for.
It's not what I signed up for. So, yeah, I had a diva strop and had a moment. And I walked out. And that was really embarrassing. Because... ever since then, I wasn't the biggest. Let's just say the other actors weren't impressed. They were like, she should be so fucking lucky to be the lead in this play.
Yeah.
And, okay, so you show your boobs. So fucking what? And yeah, actually, in retrospect, they're right. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. The way I did it wasn't the finest.
It was more that your approach to.
Yeah, I don't know. Diva moments. God. Once I went to an event and it's really difficult sometimes because today fame has changed very much, right? If you're in a reality TV show.
So before we get on to your diva strop, I'll give you a little bit of time to get your head around it. What for someone that's gone to drama school and has travelled to LA to try and, forge your career in that. How do you feel about in the last 8 or 9 years that fast track to fame from either a talent show, talent not really being a word I would attach to them shows, or a reality show? What are your thoughts on people fast tracking fame there and becoming?
I don't judge it. I mean, I have a couple of friends or mates that have done that. It's not for me personally. I already feel like I give far too much away according to my parents on Twitter or Instagram. It wouldn't be for me. I prefer to be other people than be myself, which I'd be uncomfortable, but I have absolutely no judgment. I think this is the world we live in today. You can be on a show called Love Island, and you can have a super hot body, and next you can charge, I don't know, what they charge? You run a club, what, 50 grand per appearance or something ridiculous?
No.
You could do certain
Do
clubs.
They not?
Well, I don't know.
I thought they do. Or 10 grand?
I mean, I think that's probably a lot closer to it. Yeah,
a lot of money.
Yeah, it's sure a hell of a lot of money to stand in a nightclub and wait.
Do you know what I mean? And get free drinks. Like, that's my dream.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just the way it is. I think this is just the way we go. Just like the other day, I was out with my friends and their two-year-old was playing with his penis whilst he was watching his, what's it called, iPad. So yeah,
he was doing that yesterday as well.
Doing it just before Rick and Laura showed up today.
Were you? Oh, okay. So it's just the way it is. Yeah. Yes, we don't have Marilyn Monroe. Well, we do. We have someone like Jennifer Lopez. She's a great actress, great singer. We have Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. I think true talent will always last. I think you always get found out. I think the time for a reality TV star often is very limited. So I completely understand why they take any opportunity, because why not buy yourself a great house? And why not do that?
I see it like...
In the beginning, it pissed me off a little bit. Yeah, of course. But now I'm like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, we're from Essex, so we've seen...
do you go to... Tally. What's it called?
Sugar Hut. I used to work at Sugar Hut. Like,
oh, God. Oh, this is... I've never been. Can we go? Should we go together?
It's not good.
Is it not?
I've had other people recently ask me for a trip out to the Sugar Hut.
And it's quite strange. You go there now, and it was always a really... It's still a very nice place.
Is it nice?
Yeah. It's it's not cheap to live there. It's nice. But all the shops are generally salons owned by members of, like, cast of TOWIE. And it's like a tourist trap now. Like, there's literally busloads of people from all over the country coming to...
How big is it?
What, Brentwood?
Sugar Hut. Like, how many people fit in there?
I would say it's probably about the same size as... I don't know. You been to the Queen of Hoxton around the corner?
Yeah.
About that big. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not huge. It's on a couple of floors.
What are your thoughts?
Well, on the Sugar Hut as a club?
No,
or
on quick celebrity, on reality TV.
I think my big... So I found what you just said there a really interesting insight into it. I think that...
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
My major reservation on that is when people suddenly start looking up as peers, like making for our kids peers of people who... don't really have a discernible talent. So they're just there, just being famous for being, and they're famous and they're just really stupid or maybe narcissistic or they don't do a lot. It's kind of like, shouldn't we have, people that are achieving greater things than that. So that is the side of it that I have more reservation.
Yeah,
over, definitely.
Definitely. But you always get found out in the end.
That's the idea that, you know.
I've got a 15-year-old daughter. And a 12-year-old daughter.
You're too young.
Thank you very much. But they watch, like, the TOWIE and the offshoots.
Yeah.
And we've had some incredible guests on this podcast over the last year. And if I said that I was going to be chatting to someone from Towie, I think my kids would lose their shit. Yeah.
Really?
And I just think, you know, there's... It bothers me that they see them as... I shouldn't say worthy, but...
Idols.
I don't see idols. And they're not. Because I don't want my children thinking to success is based on looking pretty, being seen in the right place,
yeah,
and pretending to be a bit stupid,
yeah,
and talking
and having live sex on camera.
And
let's not forget that.
Yeah, and the thing is with Essex, not everybody goes babe and talks like that all the time. I just feel that. You hear, and you know, I see, the kids that my kids hang out with, and that they're influential characters. These people, and I just think I look to the people that were inspiring me at that age, and you know, I think they were definitely in my perception more talented.
It's really interesting. As a father, as a mother, I would probably feel the same way. Yeah. I would probably say. I mean, when I grew up, the idols were, like I said, Marilyn Monroe and we knew she wasn't perfect either, but she could sing a little bit, she could perform, she could...
But you say about the lifespan of kind of reality TV, and I see it as that reality TV is fashionable, and I think a legitimate
bless you,
actor...
Darling.
Is stylish, and I think style will outlive fashion. Yeah. Fashion will come and go, but style's consistent.
That's so interesting.
And I think that a reality TV show will spawn a person that will be the greatest thing for about 2 years, and then you won't see them again. Yeah. You know,
they didn't leave any impression on society. There's not a rich tapestry, a cultural, a work of art, or a piece of film that will stand the test of time.
Exactly.
Just want to go back to you said that about meeting lovely people on set and stuff like that. It's one of the guests that we had on, and it was one of the most fun experiences I ever had. Is we had Ed Skrein on, who was on Game of Thrones, Ed Skrein.
Oh, please. He's like the best.
He's such a dude.
He's so great.
You know what?
He was
so miserable. He was so full of himself. He's really ugly, wasn't he?
He's an right prick. He's such a humble dude. He was such a wise, well-learned...
Come out to Essex, sat in my shed, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a top lad, wasn't he?
It was fantastic. And then one day, he invited me. He said, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, you know, I've got a few bits and pieces. He invited me down to one of his sets. He was shooting on the docks.
This is Ed Skrein we're talking about.
And yeah, he took me down to the
docks. Was this the film he's doing with Natalie?
No, it wasn't a new one. This was about 2 years. It was about 18 months ago now. And he invited me down. He said, "Look, we're shooting on set," and it was like an old movie where there was all these like ships on a dock. And I went there and they plonked a little chair down for me and him. And he was the lead in it.
That's
and
amazing.
I got to watch this movie get made for the day. And he's just such a nice guy. I mean, that was my experience of being on a movie set. And it was quite magical. And through all of that, and the fact that he's obviously, you know, who everyone wants to keep happy. Very clearly, people wanted to keep Ed happy. Yeah. But he wasn't demanding that. He was just a nice bloke. He wasn't egotistical. He was getting on with everyone on set. Yeah. It was wicked.
But I think that's why he's having the career. That's why he's having the career he's having.
Yeah, he's got an amazing attitude. One of the things he says is, why the fuck not? Why can't I do that? Instead of putting himself down and thinking that he might not be able to reach that, he's always like, well, why the fuck can't I be the next lead in this movie, like The Transporter or whatever? Why can't I do that? And you're right, he is having a bloody great career.
He is actually. He's represented by a friend of mine. That's why I just had to film that.
Right.
So, he is an amazing actor, and I think, first of all, I love that you said that because you just don't know. I mean, sometimes when I meet someone and I think, they say it's bad to meet your idols anyway.
Sure.
But to hear Escrin as a great guy is
he
awesome.
Really is. Honestly, I'm going to stop kissing your ass now.
I'll tell you what, that was the one time
that was cute
that, we were sitting in the bar and my wife don't generally come down the bar too much. I've got a little bar in the garden where we record normally, and she doesn't normally come down too much.
She wanted to come down and check out the but sexy Hollywood.
But she was just like, well, I went back in the kitchen to get some more drinks and take them down the bar. She was like, oh, it's quite warm in there. Do you guys don't want to jump in the hot tub? And I was thinking, what? And I know you don't want to see me in that hot tub. I know full well you're just trying to get Ed to get his top off and get in there.
That is so funny. How do you guys meet?
Me and Stu. I went and walked up to him on his club front door and said, can I DJ somewhere?
Did you actually say? Did you say?
Yeah. Yeah, the short and long of it is that, basically.
I tried to fuck you off for about a year, didn't I?
Yeah. But
you just kept coming back.
What'd you say?
We spoke about DJing, didn't we? I don't know if I can't even remember if anything manifested at
we
first.
We did one thing, but it was a bit crap in Chelmsford.
That's what right, kind of music do you guys play? Yeah.
Well, the club night that we got in East London at the Book Club.
I love the Book Club.
Yeah, we've got a bi-monthly night there with Scroobius Pip. We've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
When? Right. Plug it now, because we're going to be there.
Oh, it was 2 weeks ago, the last one.
And we want a table with no soda, water. I'm so taking a bit.
No, it was 2 weeks ago, and we had Doc Brown come down to DJ.
Amazing.
And Doc was great, wasn't he?
I love the Book Club. I always have. I've always had... I'm not going to lie. I have walked out of there in various states.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who hasn't?
Well, it's owned by the same people that own this.
And
the Queen of Hoxton. So that's.
I love it here. I just went up to the bar with a lady. I was like, do you know, I'm a bit hungover. She was like,
here you go.
she just passed me this beer.
So you DJ yourself, though?
Yes, I do DJ. I do a radio show with my best friend, Lara Fraser. She's DJ as well. And we are fairly new at it. I mean, I've been DJing in my bedroom since I was 12. Like, my parents were like, what do you want for your bat mitzvah? I was like, 2 turntables and a microphone. And they were like, what the F is that? But I've always loved music.
What did you listen to growing up?
Hip hop, I would say mostly. And then
what era of hip hop was that?
I mean, this is Queen Latifah. This is N.W.A. This is Tribe. This is Big Daddy Kane. This is like back in the day, like really back in the day. And actually even Little Kim, I would say, and Queen Latifah. But I'm talking about the first album.
When she come through with like Money Love and Style, like, Tribe.
I want to sing it, but I probably shouldn't. But yeah, that was sort of my beginning. And Big Daddy Kane had a really good song with Trina. That's really naughty. But I listened to that a lot. And my parents were a bit shocked. They were like, okay.
What is that daughter getting into?
Also, we didn't speak English at home. So there were certain lyrics that my parents were like, does she understand what it means? I probably didn't.
Getcha.
Yeah.
I do now. Yeah. So that's what I loved. When I was 14, I started going to clubs. Sven Faith, who's a big DJ,
he's huge.
Yeah, so he is a mate. So he started a club in Frankfurt called The Omen. And so I started going to clubs, The Omen, and listened to, and basically was there when sort of trance was born, and DJ Doug and Gem and Spoon and that whole crew. So everything changed a little bit and I got into trance and still loved hip hop. And then I moved to Los Angeles and I had a little forte for certain rock stars. So I got into rock and I love Metallica and I'm into most music.
Yeah, you've got wide.
Yeah.
Does that come out in your DJ sets or do you play?
No, because to be honest with you, we play a lot at fashion events and we play a lot of private members clubs and. Yep. And we do have a residency at the Hoxton Pony, which is my DJ partner is very good at current hip hop. now I'm, and but we also do a radio show Friday mornings at Boogaloo Radio, which is quite close to where we live, and they're more into alternatives. So I let her do the hip hop, I do the alternatives, because I'm still a Fiona Apple girl. I'm still, you know, I'm still into Nouvelle Vague, and that's just more my thing, or Courtney Love, or Polo. So what we do is we kind of just figure it out. It's only been a year. We're signed now. And we often play for a crowd that is a fashion crowd that just wants to have a good time. Yeah. And often that's ABBA.
Yeah.
And often that is what it is. Yeah. And for me, it's a job. Yes, I enjoy it. I love it. But it's a job as well. And if I get paid a certain amount of money, I'm okay. Yeah, I like ABBA. Yeah.
No, exactly. You know what I mean? I think the worst thing you can do is not play to your crowd for starters.
Yeah, and if the crowd doesn't dance and if people aren't into it, then I just change the music. Yeah. I'm not a music snob. There's certain music I'm not so much into, but I understand that's what people want to hear. We tend to do mostly events, so events will probably... we had an event at a members club, which I can't mention. Annabelle's. And there was a Russian party, and they wanted Russian music, Russian top 10. And I was like, I said to my agent, I was like, fuck. I mean, that's, you know, a Russian top 10.
Yeah. Where'd you start?
You started at the internet. So I downloaded, I bought the Russian top 10. And I played it, and this girl came up to me. She was like, "Why are you playing Russian music?" I'm like, "We were briefed to play Russian music."
She was like,
"Please don't." So you know, I think you just have to figure it out, just probably like you guys do.
Yeah,
I play for the crowd. If it would be my choice, it would be something. It would be probably a mix of house and deep house and a little bit of hip hop and a little bit of Azealia Banks, because 212 seems to get people crazy.
It's a banger, isn't it?
It's crazy. Mm. I mean,
it was released what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, from the words, and now obviously Cardi B. So.
I was playing Cardi B the other night, and I'm suddenly some of the production on it is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I totally agree. But people love it, and I love people loving it. And it, as you guys probably know, as a DJ, it's the same as an actor. If you're on stage, and the more people go, yeah, yeah, and the more they laugh, the hyper you get. So you play for the crowd. So
I went to see a comedy night a little while ago, and. And the compere come out, who's pretty famous comedian in his own right, and he said, "Listen, like, if you clap along and make a load of noise when these guys come out, you're gonna get the best out of them.
Yeah. Totally.
If you sit there just willing them to be shit and you want to rip them, you ain't gonna get anything out of them. Yeah. The more you give them."
It's so true with DJing as well.
Do you know, I did a show when I first got out of drama school, this funny acting little acting story. So I got out of drama school and I decided I should go to Edinburgh Festival, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
So I basically did a one-woman show, Strindberg, about a divorced woman. It took 25 minutes and no one came. No fucking one came. I would stand in the rain giving out tickets. I'd be like, it's a Strindberg. And we charged initially £6 for it. We went down to £1 because literally no one came. So one night that I had a couple of reviewers in, and there were two homeless guys on the street. And I went up to them and I went, guys, here's the situation. I've got two reviewers upstairs. Please, is there any chance you would come upstairs and watch the show? And, I'll buy you a burger, drink, whatever you want. And the guy went, is that a comedy? I'm like, well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a comedy. It's Strindberg, you know. It's about where he's like, fuck off, no. So that was my Edinburgh experience. And it was great. And it was fun. And it was humbling. And I was like, I'll be back one day with a great show at the Traverse. Have you been to Edinburgh?
Have we been to Edinburgh? Have you been to Edinburgh, mate? You must have done.
What, the festival?
It's cool.
Mm. No, I haven't.
It's cool.
One of my best friends is he's a one-man sort of comedy act, refers to himself as Cunt and the Gang.
Yeah.
And, what was it?
Cunt and the Gang.
Am I hearing this right?
Yeah, you are, yeah.
Say it again.
As a call in the gang, but swap call for cunt. Spelt with a K, though.
I have to Google him right now.
Oh, crazy.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God. Everybody really listen funny. To Cut in the Gang. That is fantastic. Is
that,
it good?
That is a YouTube rabbit hole. That,
is he You'll good?
Like, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Is he?
He's my best pal. And he's an Essex boy. And,
I was shattered.
He done... he's won awards at Edinburgh now. The first time he went up there, he thought it'd be interesting to get a load of stickers... with his name on it, but the stickers were shaped like a cock and balls. He gave them all out to everybody at his show.
My friends.
But all the people that had come to watch the show got the stickers, and then when the festival was on, all it is billboards of all the big comedians' faces. And so they've all now got cocks in their mouth, cocks in their ears.
That's fantastic.
The head of Edinburgh went absolutely apeshit.
Yeah, they're really...
But it was all the big comedians... were going nuts.
Why is it
someone had put a cock and balls on their face? And now when you think, it's a comedy basic. Why are you getting stressed about that?
Isn't that also? Sorry, I'm just going to actually do this live now because this is something I want everyone to see, and I'm going to give it a shout out. So hold on, talk about cunt and the bull.
Literally, it was Stuart Lee that bailed him out. It was Stuart Lee that basically sort of went. And, you know, what this guy is doing, I think it was the guy behind Viz as well was on board with him.
Yeah.
Just literally saying, get over yourselves, comedians. Yeah. It's a cock and balls, for Christ's sake. Yeah,
exactly. If you can't laugh at that.
Yeah. Well, he come back and I was like, mate, I've read all about... Because obviously I was reading about it in the papers and stuff. Yeah. And I was thinking, he's crazy. And I was going like, learned your lesson? He went, no, I've just got a load of stickers made with an arrow with the word nonce written in it. I was like,
so did people like it? Did people kind of go, did they say like this is fantastic, or did he get like 5 stars from Scotsman and stuff? That he
newcomer and things like that.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he won an award at Edinburgh.
Did he really?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. And he's come back. He's gone back several times now. Yeah. And, you know, I thought
Cunt and...
The Gang.
A Cunt and the Gang, yeah.
He's made some absolute... He's written some crazy, crazy songs. What are the song titles? Give us a few.
Fuck Sticks. Oh, my God.
What's the one about having a wank in your loft?
Wanking over a pornographic Polaroid of an ex-girlfriend that died. Yeah, he's not been on the podcast yet, and it's really weird because he's kind of retired it as an act, and so.
Oh, so he's not going to be at Edinburgh this year.
No. And,
shit.
And what he doesn't want to do is obviously he wears a wig on stage and stuff like that, so no one knows who he is, and so he's obviously he's got a private life that he doesn't particularly want
to merge those worlds
coming up, so. He's retired Cunt in the Gang, so he won't come on the podcast as Cunt.
No.
But then he doesn't want to come on as himself.
But we're saying the C word with a K, right?
Yeah.
Cunt in the Gang.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
I think that's brilliant.
I mean, I have to say, between the five, but the top five acting cliches, Cunt in the Gang is definitely in the top five.
What other lines have you got? Because I think you've probably done about 3 or 4 now.
Okay, I've done 3 or 4. Yeah. Another good one would be, this might not be so funny for English viewers, but if you have obviously you're on iTunes, so you have a lot of American listeners. Every actor's dream is to join SAG, which is called the Screen Actors Guild.
Okay.
This is something that when you get to Los Angeles that you have to have. You have to have a SAG card. Now, to get a SAG card, you have to have 3 lines in a movie. But you don't get to get in a movie or in a TV show unless you have a SAG card.
Wow. So you have a thing in the UK, didn't they?
Equity, yeah.
Equity card. Yeah.
But it's easier to get equity than it is to get SAC. And it's just this, to be honest, I have never understood the philosophy behind it, because it's like, just give the fucking card out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
How do you get the card if you can't get a role without having
The card? That's the thing. So you can't get the card. So you basically do a lot of short films, and you hope one of the short films becomes some sort of a success.
Yeah.
And then you get the SAG card.
Sure.
Or you know the right people. I don't know. It's so long ago. So I think one of the lines that every person asks, the first thing you ask, are you SAG?
Are you SAG?
Are you SAG?
Are you SAG?
And not do you SAG?
Yeah.
Are you SAG? And this is something that I really enjoyed moving to the UK, because no one ever asked it.
Yeah.
And now that I've got the show, I am SAG.
Yeah.
Woohoo! And then they sent me a bill for 1,750 quid to be a SAG member. And I'm like...
1,750 quid. Hopefully that's lifetime membership.
Well, yes. And they said, no, it's yearly. It's yearly.
What?
It's yearly. Yeah, funnily enough, it's yearly. And also, I don't need it anymore, because I'm not there. But
what are they doing for that 1,700 quid then?
I mean, you get an insurance. And this is going to sound really funny in sort of with, especially what's happening right now, you are protected from predators.
Fucking
well,
hell.
Well, their track record with protection's pretty.
Yeah,
exactly.
That
you are protected now. You no longer have to worry. So you are able to report someone if they were to hypothetically invite you to a hotel room.
So they're a bit like a union kind of.
And you get a lot of, I think it's just, it's a status symbol, and it gets you into, it gets you work, basically, is what it is. So are you SAG? So in the beginning, when I first moved to Los Angeles, my English wasn't great, and people would be like, are you SAG? Are you SAG? And I'd be like, I'm thinking it's a good thing, because it's like, are you SAG? I'd be like, yeah. And then one girl came up to me, and she was like, well, I just called SAG, and you're not. Oh, and then I'm like...
Who is SAG? Who is he?
Yeah, who is SAG? Cause, and then I found out, yes, it's a Screen Actors Guild. You have to be a part of it, and it's great. I am actually an equity member, and we don't have to pay, well, a little bit, but it's much nicer. So is that a funny one? I don't know. What is a funny one?
That is interesting, though. Especially, is that something that comes up in, like... when you're socializing and you're with your other actors and what are you SAG?
Well, it doesn't come up in the UK, but in America. So when I look at, because I have a lot of friends in that work in America, and on their Instagram they'll put SAG AFTRA. AFTRA is the American Federation of Television, AFTRA, Television, Radio, Audio, or something. Right. So that will be their thing. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm equally of a cheesy one, because I name all my agencies on my thing. I don't know why. I'm just really proud that I got into an agency in the first place. So, SAG AFTRA is a really, really, really big deal, because it means you've been in a show and you've said more than two lines. And you know what? For an actor, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Funny other anecdote. Let me think. What do they always say? I mean, one of the things that I think I get asked most is, did your agent get this? Because people always want to know, did you get this by yourself, or did your agent get this?
Okay.
And 50-50.
Yeah.
Is that funny? No.
So it doesn't have to be.
So, yeah. Yeah. Well, why?
It's just something that people want to know. I don't know. I ask it too, actually. It's just something that's interesting to know. Because, to be honest...
But if you get it yourself, your agent will still get the percentage of...
Yeah, because I'm fair. Oh, I mean, I just feel like they were with me before. Sure. They'll... I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I'll always go, just call them and just go through them, because, listen, I mean, we're talking, if it's a short film, it's 150 quid, it's 20 quid for them.
Yeah, sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What's, you know, that's not even a drink at your club.
Yeah.
So I think that's all right. But yeah, there's this great line. I forgot what actor it was. Someone, because I went to a drama school that was very Stanislavski, which is very, very much called, you know, real acting. Like you really believe it. Like you smell it. You know, it's. There was a story, and I don't remember who the two actors was, unfortunately, but it was two actors, and they were doing a scene. This is about this years and years ago, and I want to say someone amazing like, what's his name, ginger guy, years ago,
an actor,
yeah, big one,
English,
big. Biggest actors, anyway. I'm riding on a horse, and the guy went, "Well, I'm not ready. I need to feel the horse. I need to feel the moment where I'm a cowboy." And the other, I think it was Robert Redford,
right?
Who was not English, sorry.
Yeah.
And I think Robert Redford looked at the guy, and I may be completely wrong. Looked at the guy and went, "Mate, why don't you just fucking act?"
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I kind of sometimes think about that, and I find it kind of funny because. Okay.
That's what you're paid to do.
I read it. Go on, sorry, come on.
And then there's another funny anecdote you carry on. What were you going to say?
It was just a cowboy thing. I remember hearing a story that when Ray Winston was on set was he in Cold Mountain? Was it Cold Mountain in the Nicole Kidman film?
Yeah, I don't know if he was in that. I can check.
But it was something that involved him riding a horse with a gun. And he said it was kind of in between shooting. And he just said, "I got on the horse." And he said, "Do you know what? I just lived out my childhood fantasy."
Yeah.
He said, "I literally just started firing the gun in the air just as a cowboy riding a horse."
Did Ray Winston say that?
I love that. That's fantastic.
That is brilliant.
He said like the people were going mental, but he was just like, "Fuck it, I'll do it."
I love that. But I kind of agree with that. You know, I just think listen, how lucky are you if you get to do something?
Yeah.
I mean, even today, you know, it's a Sunday night and we're here and we're chatting.
Exactly.
And this is going to be on a podcast and people are going to listen to it. Like, that's
we're
pretty
forever grateful for this podcast, aren't we?
It's pretty fucking cool.
It's so much fun.
Why do you think podcasts have been so successful lately?
Because you can have a conversation like we're having, Laura, and it's not like you don't have to, like, the pressures of sort of like radio or television is that they want you to say salacious things and get it out quickly. Whereas here we can have a conversation, it'll go where it goes and it's natural and it's earnest and people can find out interesting things about, you know, the actors or the musicians that
we have
on. So I think that's why it goes that way.
I watched Graham Norton yesterday morning when I woke up. I watched the night before.
Who was on it? Do you remember?
Some dick from One Direction. and he was a proper helmet. Liam?
Don't know, mate. I genuinely don't know.
They're all so cute.
who was... Oh, the most beautiful and funny and brilliant actress ever, Toni Collette.
Oh my God, I love Toni Collette.
She's
amazing.
Was it Muriel's wedding? Muriel's wedding,
I'm actually going to watch it tonight.
It's so good. She said, to this day, people just go, "You're terrible, Muriel." They still say it to her all the time. But I was watching...
I love that.
It was the guy that plays Poldark and that was in Lord of the Rings.
Aidan.
Him.
Aidan Turner, and he's good.
And there was Joe Brand. And they were all sitting there. And do you know what? It was like... I do think as a TV host for that kind of show, well, they're a dying brand anyway. I do think he's quite good at it.
Totally agree. Totally high five.
Yeah.
Agreed. 100%.
But I think it's still very much right. So we've got to talk about your new film.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got to talk about your new film. Mm-hmm. Then we've got to talk about your new record.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I think that in this day and age, with the sort of size of that YouTube is, and the fact that my kids just watch YouTubers, and like, you know, yeah. I was out last night, and the children of the people we was with had gone to watch a football match, where all the players were their favourite YouTubers, and it was at a stadium.
Right. What?
Yeah. And you just think it's these crazy. Are just like YouTubers, it's obviously
what is. You know, actually, I mean, obviously, we've interviewed YouTubers, but what? Because now, from what I understand, YouTubers, the successful ones, are the ones that watch other people play games.
Yeah, that's Twitch.
Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, like KSI. What?
Are you guys? That?
No, I don't
a
do
good
that.
Friend of ours is. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. And
what's the because I don't get it.
Shall I tell you the best way I can figure it out?
Yeah.
Because I ended up one day on YouTube watching a kid play computer game, which I've never done before. What's happening? And I understood what was going on. Is he was creating a story then and there.
Yeah.
And whatever it was that he was doing, it had its own narrative. It was unpredictable. And it went on him on that journey. And so instead
of talking
like,
Second Life type of thing?
I don't even know the game he was playing. Oh, yeah. And I don't know how I found myself watching him. And I was completely captivated. I was laughing along. Crazy things happened.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
And I was like, that's it. He's like, these things are like, these people who play games, they're creating a story that you're watching. Yeah. And you can enjoy that. And some of them are funny and they make it humorous. And others, well, most of them are humorous, to be fair.
Yeah.
YouTube has changed everything. And because you don't
it's
have
changing
to have
now, though.
Yeah, but it's great, though, because...
What are your thoughts on Facebook, by the way, and Facebook's and the idea of...
Well, as a club promoter, Facebook and any social media is free marketing for me. All of my events
absolutely.
Go out by that. So, you know, I don't use Facebook as much. I mean, obviously, we talk about the podcast and then I think to go back to the YouTube thing, and before that we were talking about I've lost my way quickly. The podcasting,
sure.
And I think it's just the fact that there's no rules. Like you can say what you want, you can do what you want. Obviously within a certain boundary.
Yeah.
And it's lo-fi. It's pirate as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
just,
very indie.
Yeah.
Bit gonzo, isn't it?
Yeah. And
it is.
You know, we're not fucking professionals, do you know what I mean? We're just like two...
I disagree. I mean, I think you are, actually, first of all, because the way you've set this up.
Well, thank you.
And so, no, I really do. I actually genuinely do. And I've listened to the last 2 days, I've listened to all the others. and I've actually listened to them, and not as in I'm on, TMZ or Daily Mail, which I wouldn't be on. Or watching The Kardashians again, something I would never do.
We don't ever edit this podcast, but Stu, can you edit out the word Daily Mail, please?
I do have a friend. His name is Julian Rubenstein. I'm hoping he's watching this. He's created a character called Maley Dale, and he is hysterical. It's really funny.
Maley Dale.
You've got to watch him. He's on The Revolution We Televised on Channel 4. It's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah,
it's really funny. But it is rogue and it is quick, but it's also people who have a certain talent in doing what you're doing. Otherwise,
we wouldn't be here a year down the line.
Exactly.
I guess not, but we've been lucky that we've had interesting guests.
That
makes our job so much easier.
Yeah, for sure.
And all we have to do is listen and interject as they talk about stuff that really interests them.
Yeah.
And we'd be foolish to think that a lot of our listenership didn't come from guesting on Scroobs podcasts and stuff like that. It does feel that, like, as the years gone on, we've developed our own, you know, following and listenership, and yeah, it's great. And if I say it to anyone, like, oh, you got a podcast, wicked, and people go, I'm like, why don't you do one? Mm. Well, I wouldn't know how to. It's like, we didn't know how to. Bought a couple of mics and a little recording box, and
see what happens.
Like, but I think it's because. Two things: you listen and you speak, and you have a theme. And I think I came up with the idea of Shit Actors Say yesterday, and I sent you a couple of ideas, and you were like, I was hoping you'd say that. but I think that's what it is. And listen, anybody can do anything. It is the guts to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's and you've done it. So
certainly you did at 17, Laura.
Oh, yeah.
Decided to fucking, you know, leave another country.
Absolutely.
Is that really such a big deal? I think it's really impressive.
I do. And I think that's quite a nice way to sort of bring this to it. We've been nattering for an hour and 15, hour and
Have
20
we?
Minutes. Yeah, yeah.
Have we? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys, I haven't. If I come up with like a really outrageous story, can I tweet it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What we'll do, Laura, is we will ask our listeners, because we'll tag you in all this when it goes
out. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll ask our listeners to, if they've got, if yeah. they've heard any strops and divas, yeah, stuff like that, to drop them in there.
Yeah.
Don't tag the person who done it in it, though.
Yeah. Let's do that. That'd be fun. So, thank you guys so much for having me on. Honestly, I'm so happy. And I've had two beers.
That's good.
I'm joking.
That's another thing that you can't do on TV a lot of the time.
Exactly.
Right, Laura, quickly, where can people find out about you?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram at L Pradelska, and I am on Twitter at Lara Pradelska, and I have deleted my Facebook. Well, I've not deleted it, I made it private, simply because I got some weirdos. And
We'll leave you alone now.
No, it was really sweet. It wasn't dick pics or anything. And I think Twitter and Instagram are the best ways to get me. Mm. If you want to book me, obviously go through my agencies. Mm. But in general, I'm quite. I respond to DMs as long as they're not naughty.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I'm just touching.
When can people hear you on the radio next?
Okay, so we are live on Boogaloo Radio at 9 a.m. on Friday morning, next Friday.
Is that every Friday?
Yeah, we're every Friday. We weren't this Friday because they were changing the studio, but we're live on Lara Fraser and myself. We are live on Boogaloo Radio, and we have a monthly residence at the Hoxton Pony, and I'll post whenever our next one is, because we just had one, and we're probably going to play a couple of gigs in between, and just in the process of really booking festivals this year, because I'm a big festival girl. Are you guys?
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it, and if I get to DJ at it,
win-win.
Totally. Anyway, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.
There you have it. That was Laura Pradelska, her episode of Hardcore Listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Chris and I did. Thanks to the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen for letting us record there. It's very kind of you people. Thanks for listening. Yous lot, thanks for subscribing and thanks for supporting. We're over 80 episodes in. Who'd have thought that would ever happen? We're nearly at 1 million downloads. Chris and I, Hardcore Listening, 1 million downloads. How the fucking hell did that ever happen? But yeah. It's there. If you like this and you like hearing me bang on as well, I've got another podcast called Off the Beaten Track, which is also on the Distraction Pieces Network, where I also chat to actors and actresses in a very different way to what I do on Hardcore Listening. But you might like it, so give that a go. And if not, have a look at the other content on the Distraction Pieces Network, because there's shitloads, and it's all grade A shit. Get involved. I'll see you next time. Bye. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.